Today on the Inland Journal podcast, we talk with the seventh and final candidate in the Spokane City Council race in the Northeast District. Mike Fagan will be leaving his seat, and Jarrell Haynes is among the people who hope to replace him. Haynes has not run for the council before, but he is an elected official. He serves on the Spokane School Board.
Having the opportunity to serve 30,000 students every day has been one of the highlights of my life. I am also a small business owner. My business is located in District 1, which is the community that I'm trying to serve as a city council member.
What's your small business?
It's Legacy Training Systems. It's a fitness business. I also do part-time work with Excelsior Wellness Center. So getting to work with youth that struggle with homelessness issues, drug addiction issues, behavioral health issues every single day. I was a paraeducator there, and now I am a development liaison. Recently changed roles a little while ago, and I also run my own mentorship program for high school students that come to my gym some days after high school, and we work on schoolwork, you know, character development, and sometimes fitness as well.
How has being a school board member prepared you for being a city council member?
It's a steep learning curve. You know, you can do all the research in the world and you can talk to people, but you never really know until you're in the position all of the things that come with it. There's a lot of things that happen. There are a lot of committee meetings. There's a lot of information that's thrown at you that you never would have been able to find on your own. What I learned about by becoming a school board member is the collaboration and learning to work with people that come from different backgrounds and have different experiences and perspectives than you do. And also remembering to have the scope that you have to make decisions that benefit everyone, right? You're not there to serve one particular group of people. You're there to serve everyone. And you, in order to get the best outcomes for everyone, you can never, ever lose focus of that.
So as a council member, you would be serving many of the same constituents you serve now.
Yes.
as a school board member. Uh-huh. But why make the change from one elected office to another?
Well, my main reason is to be more effective. Right. I think that we have a beautiful opportunity to double down on some of the school district, the city's partnerships that we just recently experienced in the 2018 bond that we just passed, and all of the good that's going to come out of that, from jobs to educational outcomes for students, to relieving some of the class sizes in the classroom for teachers. There's so many good things that come out of that. I started to do research and explore on other ways that the city can partner with the school district and the community and organizations around the community. And whereas there is a lot of collaboration that already exists, there's so much more room for things to happen that can benefit people, especially in District 1, one of the most marginalized communities in Spokane.
So which of the issues that city council members are talking about right now are most important to you? What's at the top of your agenda?
There's so many, but I would say economic development. The PDA going into the northeastern part of our city, I think, can help solve or help improve a lot of the issues from homelessness to the amount of high poverty residents that we have in our district, to people being able to afford housing, to healthcare disparities, right? Bringing in economic opportunity can check off so many boxes. It can also help improve crime rates as well, right? So there are a lot of issues, and there are a lot of issues that they're talking about. I think that for me, is easily one of the most important ones.
So how would a PDA, a public development authority, do that?
Do what exactly?
Improve the economic development climate, that sort of thing.
Okay.
How does that work?
So bringing in businesses, as you know, brings in money to the city, right? Tax income, but it also brings in a lot of jobs, right? And if we can find ways to make sure that a lot of those jobs are staying in the neighborhood, so that people that live in those neighborhoods, as the neighborhoods start to elevate, they can elevate with the neighborhoods as well. So we're not pushing those people out of the neighborhoods.
How does the PDA do that? Is it tax incentives? What's the benefit of having that?
So tax incentives, recruiting, right, people. It's having the ideas around. Right now, they're very industrial focused. I think we have an opportunity to have conversations around maybe changing their scope a little bit about a few things. And they're very focused on the yard area and maybe having conversations about growing that. But yeah, creating incentives, either whether it's tax incentives or fee incentives at the local level, I think could go a very long way. Yeah.
Other issues you wanted to talk about that are important to you beyond that?
One of the ones that I think a lot of people are kind of forgetting to talk about is the construction of the North-South Freeway. And we have us really paying attention and making sure we have a solid plan in place at the city level for how we can help with traffic calming measures, and also make sure that one of our neighborhoods, Minnehaha, doesn't get cut off from the rest of the city, right? Because that's a very real possibility if we don't have a solid plan around it. We need to make sure that we're consulting with our police department and our fire departments to make sure that there are secure routes for them to get to Minnehaha neighborhood in the case of an emergency. So just having good, solid plans built in around that and how to make sure that members of our community don't get cut off from each other, cut off from businesses, resources, and the beautification of it, right? Making sure it doesn't just become a sore spot in one of our important areas of our city.
Are you happy that the freeway is going through your neighborhood?
Me personally, no. I'm not. I understand the plan and the need for it 60 years ago. But I'm personally not happy with it, right? There's research out there that discusses healthcare disparities and health issues with people that are living right next to a freeway, and it's not the happiest thing for me, not at all.
Yeah. So we've been asking candidates about homelessness then the city's situation. How do you think the city has handled, especially since it's become so much more visible this year than in past years? How is the city doing on this?
Okay. Well, I think it's first important to note that homelessness is a symptom, right, of a lot of different issues, and it changes from person to person. The study that the city did recently shows that here in the city of Spokane, at least, the majority of our homeless is homeless because a lack of affordable housing or lack of income, adequate income in order to afford housing. You have people that are homeless because of domestic violence issues. They're fleeing domestic violence. You have people that are homeless because of mental health issues or drug abuse issues, which are the ones that are more readily apparent issues for a lot of us. But I think that the city has gotten some of the homeless, the ways that they approach homelessness, right. And in terms, I believe in housing first, because it could be incredibly difficult to think about a lot of the other things that you need in the world if you don't have secure housing, right? If you don't have a place where you can shower and sit down and sleep and eat, especially during the wintertime, right? But I also believe that we could be doing better, and we could be serving those individuals and those populations better by in the terms of purchasing property near public transportation, right? That is easily accessible for people that may be residing in the homeless shelter to access a lot of the services that they may need. Possibly hiring more social workers and more caseworkers to help a lot of the homeless people navigate some of these huge, confusing systems that are difficult at times for people like me and you to navigate every single day. I couldn't imagine having to navigate it without a phone, without a lot of information, or even without an ID. You know, it can become almost impossible and discouraging.
Is it the city's role, though, to pay for that kind of service, or is that a private sector thing? Is it a partnership?
I think it's a partnership. I think it's a lot of give and take. What you learn about me is I'm huge on collaboration, right? So I think it's a partnership. It could be a partnership between the city, between nonprofit organizations, between private citizens, even businesses in our area who, of course, would love to see the homelessness issue improve in Spokane. So definitely a partnership.
So there's talk about the city opening a 24/7 shelter, not just warming centers and that sort of thing. Do you agree with that?
I do. I would have liked to see it in a different location, but I do agree with the concept.
Where would you put it? I mean, a lot of the services are focused on downtown, and I think that part of the reason is because that's where a lot of the services are. But where would you? How would you approach something like that? Would you disperse a lot of those shelter areas around the city? Is it smart to keep it in one area? What are your thoughts?
I would disperse it around the city, but as long as it was in places and locations where transportation was easily accessible, right? That's very important, especially with homeless populations and high poverty populations in general. But I would like to see it dispersed, because what research shows is that when you have a mixture of populations and a mixture of socioeconomic statuses, then it provides easier routes for social mobility, for people to see better and do better and be motivated to do better, right? And make connections and relationships also. So
there's a lot of talk about the folks who are very visible out there, the folks who are choose to be on the streets, the choose to do drugs and that sort of thing, and they want to move those folks away from visible areas. What do you think about that? Is that, are they better off in the jail? Are they better off in a forced treatment? How do you approach that idea?
Well, when we're talking about rights, you know, it's kind of hard to bring the word forced into it.
Forced is probably not the right word, but yeah. Or required.
Definitely recommended treatment for people, without a doubt. I wouldn't say removing them so they're invisible, because that becomes very easy to ignore the problem. And I think that that's a very dangerous, slippery slope to go down. I don't agree with jailing anyone that hasn't committed a crime. If there are crimes being committed and people are found to have committed a crime and there's a jail sentence required based off of that, then people going to jail. But making sure that they receive treatment, whether it is drug addiction treatment or mental health treatment or whatever have you, I think is very important. A little piece about me. My father has, I was raised by a single mother because my father has been in and out of jail my entire life. And a huge part of that was he was never evaluated for mental health issues. And come to find out, he was eventually diagnosed with schizophrenia. And I could only imagine if that was caught very early on, maybe hopefully with his first arrest, that his life could have been different. And in turn, mine and my siblings' lives could have been entirely different as well. So I think overlooking the power of treatment is doing a disservice to all of society.
We're talking with Jarrell Haynes, one of seven candidates in the race for a Spokane City Council seat in the Northeast District. So you started talking about housing a little while ago of the low-income housing, the fact that there isn't a lot of housing available, especially for those folks. What's the city's role in creating that kind of housing, workforce housing, for folks so that there's enough out there?
Yes, sir. So I believe the city's role is in finding ways to create the opportunity for more housing to be developed, whether that is rezoning laws, whether that is coming up with incentives or greater incentives. There already are some incentives for multifamily housing tax exemptions here in Spokane. But if we need to create more in order to help solve this issue that we have, because as long as we have a low supply, it's going to be expensive and the prices are going to keep going up. So I think the city does have a role and a responsibility to help mitigate those damning effects.
So let's talk about, there's a lot going on out of the West Plains, not in your district, but but there's a lot of spillover effect in terms of housing, in terms of what's the infrastructure that's needed out there. What role does the city play, even if it's not within the city's limits?
The city plays a role in trying to help project, you know, the impacts that it will have on the community, especially housing, right? Because if we want the homelessness issue to get better, we really need to concentrate on that. I also believe that the city has a role in making sure that the businesses and the developments that do come in to those areas play their part in the community, right? Making sure that the community benefits as well as the businesses do from them coming in and making money off of our citizens.
So as you look out to the window that's in front of you, you see the county jail out there, and there's there's a lot of talk about what's going to be the role of that or the future of that particular building, that complex. What are your thoughts about kind of that county that conversation about the jail? Should there be a new facility? Should it be a renovated facility? What do you think?
Well, as far as I know, there's a lot more research that needs to be done on that topic, but I will tell you that I am huge on criminal justice reformation and reform, and I believe that our current practices in jail and prisons can definitely be updated and do a better job currently. And it's not just a Spokane thing. This is a national issue, right? We are essentially creating lifelong criminals with the way our criminal justice system currently exists. And even life after jail, right, is helping create more criminals with people with unfavorable hiring practices, et cetera. So as it stands right now, I am opposed to a new jail. Right. Definitely need to do more research into the subject. And I know the city, I've spoken to a few city council members and city council president currently, and they've all discuss about there needing to be more research done on the topic, but I am more interested in us doing things differently.
So you talked about reforms. What types of reforms are you thinking about?
So something that we turned to within our school district over the last few years is restorative practices or restorative discipline. So taking a more restorative justice approach.
That means what?
So it is, instead of treating the action, you treat the cause, right? A lot of the time, crime is a symptom, just like homelessness is a symptom of a myriad of different issues that may exist, right? We talked about it already, right? The crime rate in District 1 is high because the poverty rate in District 1 is high. That there is a correlation between the two in every community in the country, right? And so if we can find ways to figure out exactly what's causing the crimes, maybe we can find ways to fix the behaviors at the end of the day. And then that can go a long way toward prevention.
All right, let's finish it up. We're almost 20 minutes into this.
Okay.
So why are you the best candidate here? You've got 7 folks in your race.
Yes.
Why should people make you one of the top 2 so that you can move on from the August primary and run for 3 more months?
Multiple issues. One, you mentioned it very early on, is my experience already as an elected official leading on a board of multiple individuals that all have their thoughts, views, and opinions, and knowing how to work through and navigate in that system, right? Building relationships throughout the community, my collaborative approach that I would like to bring success to District 1. I have diverse experiences from my military experience, spending 7 years in the United States Air Force, leading a unit sometimes of 300 people to get a job done, right? Working with people from different countries, from different states, from different cities. That I have that experience. I have nonprofit sector experience, and I also have private sector experience with owning my own business here in the city of Spokane. I think if you put all those things together, and it's kind of hard to compare when it comes to the other candidates. And I believe that my passion for helping people and my genuineness and wanting to serve others, and I truly believe that that's what my life passion is. I think that's what makes me the best candidate.
So was there anything that I didn't ask you about, any issues, that sort of thing that you wanted to, before we finish up here, is there anything that's important to you?
Well, obviously there's, you know, the roads in Spokane, there's 54 miles of unpaved roads in Spokane. I think more specifically on the homelessness issue, the last time I checked, there are 85 homeless vets in the city of Spokane, and me being an Air Force veteran, that's something that hits very near and dear to my heart. I know people who have left the military and become homeless, you know, after moving to different places, and it's never an easy conversation to have. And I think that we could definitely, not to single people out or anything, but I think we can definitely do better by some of the people who have served this nation and sacrificed a lot so that others can have. There's other projects going on around District 1 from people wanting to revitalize the Hilliard business area, which I think will be wonderful. The work that the Zone Project is doing and us building a community school out of Shaw Middle School can be wonderful. It's going to provide an opportunity to create better educational outcomes, stronger families, and a healthier community, which is absolutely amazing. You mentioned the jail, but we didn't hit a whole lot on the crime rates, right? But I tied that into the economic development also. So I think we hit a lot of
folks talking about property crime. Do you feel safe when you go downtown?
I feel safe.
This is coming up a lot these days. People say, I don't feel safe taking my family down. Do you feel safe?
I feel safe 100%. But that doesn't mean that I don't understand the feeling of others, right? I have friends who don't feel safe when they go downtown or even at nighttime in our own district. I've met a lot of people. Just last night, I met a elderly couple who just recently redid their roof. And in the process, a lot of the tools got stolen from outside of their home. And they said that when they called the police about it and no one ever came, there was never a report filed or anything. And I think that speaks volumes to how overworked our police department may be, right? They're getting calls all the time. They're on patrol all the time. And they've been asking and advocating for more police officers for a while.
I'm assuming then that you voted for the property tax increase last year that benefit both the fire department and the city police department.
I did.
Yeah. Okay. Does the city need to spend more money on crime prevention, property crimes, that sort of thing? Is that
Yes, for the moment. But I believe if we do enough to bring more jobs in, to bring more housing in, more affordable housing, more mixed income housing is very important also. If we do a good job doing that, then we'll be able to draw back on the necessary investments towards safety because we'll be living in a much safer community.
Jarrell Haynes is running for the Spokane City Council in the Northeast District. On tomorrow's podcast, we begin the first of Steve Jackson's interviews with the four council president candidates. We start with Phil Tyler. Our full interviews with the candidates are available for listening anytime on the Spokane Public Radio website. We're adding one interview a day. Click on the Regional News tab and then on Election 2019, or go to the Inland Journal page. You can subscribe to the Inland Journal podcast in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. Send your comments and story ideas to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Doug Nadvornik.